great opportunity to continue to help prepare us for that day. And I don't know when that day is, but I know I'm going. Amen? I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I got no-so. Amen? I got no-so, Ron. I know that I know that I know that I know. Amen? Pursuing holiness. God said in His Word, without holiness you will not see the kingdom of God. I want to be a holy man. I fight my anybody. Me and come on, brother. Your flesh will get in the way. Hello. And so, having said that, there is something about all of us that needs some attention. And no matter who we are, we can still use a little help in this area. Father, I pray right now, God, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You would bring the increase. Lord, that You, by Your Spirit, would anoint these lips of clay. Father, I pray that You would, in fact, take a coal from the altar of heaven and touch these lips of clay. Father God, and anoint me to preach Your Word. Lord, and anoint Your people to receive Your Word today, God, that nobody can leave this house this morning the same way that we came in, but that, Lord, we would be drawn closer and closer to You. Lord, that some of the flesh would be killed in our lives today as we listen and hear and receive Your Word today. Now, God, I pray in advance. I pray, Lord, for salvations. I pray for souls, God. Lord, in fact, I pray for every church in this city today. God, that not only this church, but every church in this city would become New Testament churches. Lord, that would do what is necessary to reach out and to reach this city for the glory of God, Father. And I thank You for it. So let revival start in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I want to talk about something that I don't think is really all that popular, especially in society today. Today's society, as you name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, live however you want, as long as you're okay with it, that's all good. But that's not what God's Word says. God's drawn a line in the sand, and you and I have to make a choice which side of the line we're going to be on. Amen? Some of us have probably asked, I know I've asked this question, why should I even try and be holy, especially in a society and in the world that we live in? Well, the world would make us believe that there is no use even in trying because you just cannot attain to that level. Listen, we always say this when somebody's got a bad sickness or an illness or whatever, we say, whose report are you going to believe? And I think that same report applies right here. God wouldn't have asked us to be holy if we couldn't attain holiness. And I'm not talking about our own little kingdom and our own little this. I'm talking about being like Christ. He's called us to literally be imitators of Christ. And that's gonna cause us to have to take a look in the mirror and check ourselves and look at some priorities that we have in our life. When we want to do something, we adjust our schedule, we adjust our calendar, we adjust every situation in our life. If we've got something we need to do, we adjust whatever's necessary to make that happen. How many of you know that's true? How many of you know that God wants you and I to adjust our calendar toward His schedule? He said, I'll give you 6 days. Did this die?
Hello?
He said He's given us 6 days to do work. Or to do what we're going to do. But He has called the church one day. Well,
I just got myself in trouble. Because the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, every day they met daily and broke bread and read Scripture and prayed and worshiped. It's an everyday thing. But He has specifically specified one day, and that is Sunday. Or the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. Listen to what He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And if you would, it's just a short little thing, but if you would just stand with me this morning out of respect for the Lord and respect for His Word. If you would just stand with me as we read these Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Father, would You add Your blessing to the reading of Your Word. Your Word's already blessed, but I'm asking that You would bless it to us, Lord. Help it to just begin to churn inside of us. God, to stir us and provoke us. And God, cause us to ask ourselves when we're about to do this or that, is this going to be pleasing to God? Is this going to affect my holiness with God? Is this going to affect how somebody else sees me in my life? Are they going to see compromise in my life? Or are they going to see a heart after God? I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If it's your first time with us, I'm grateful that you have chosen to be here with us this morning. As you might have already figured out, it's a little different around here. We like to, we just like to love on one another. We like to love Jesus. And I love His Word. Amen. And His Word has been working for centuries. And there's no reason for it to stop now. And so I'm doing my best, folks, to bring God's Word as accurately and as truthfully as I possibly can. Pray for me that God would keep me on the straight and narrow. Amen? Amen? A lot of times we complain about how narrow the road is, but the fact is that He's even given us a road is pretty powerful. Amen? So God's holiness means that He is completely separated from sin and from evil. Holiness pervades His character. In fact, He is holiness. If you want to know what it's like to live a life of holiness, get in your Word and begin, especially in the Gospels, and begin to look at and read and study and understand the life of Jesus. Read the red and pray for the power. Amen. Read the letters in red and pray for power. Pray that God will visit you, and He will. The fact is that Jesus is the opposite, or even God is the absolute opposite, church, of anything profane. I know Christians go to church, go to Bible study, pay tithes, give offerings, have gone on mission fields, have done all kinds of good things for the work of ministry, opened up homes, and I'm not talking about anybody in this church, so don't get nervous. And raise their hands, worship, praise, all that kind of stuff, and leave and go home or go to the workplace or go here or go there and talk like, woo! I mean, you just want to ask them, do you eat with the same mouth you talk out of? Because that's dirty. I mean, it's just, well, they're just words. No, they're not just words. God's Word says, the Word says that we're going to be held accountable for every idle word. Boy, I'm just getting popular by the moment. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are the absolute opposite of anything and everything profane. Holiness for you and I as God's people means being totally devoted, totally dedicated to God, set aside for His special use, and set apart from sin and the influences of sin. You know why we have so much trouble with sin? Because, well, I'll do the preaching. Man, you're spot on, brother. Listen, if sin wasn't so much fun, people probably wouldn't do it so much. And what we do oftentimes is we see how close we can get to sin without getting into it. And the reality is, it's a very slim chance that we have of getting close to sin and not getting it on you. You ever been around a campfire? I don't care what side of the campfire you stand on, when you walk away from that campfire, you are going to smell like smoke. When we get around sin, it's going to get on us. And we are a people. God has called us apart. He has sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart. Set apart. He said to be in the world, but not of the world. Are you hearing me this morning? It means to be totally devoted and dedicated to God. Set apart from sin and sin's influence. The God of Israel, I read about Him out of Ezekiel. He, the God of the Christian church, He is a holy God. And He is the one who has set the standard. It's not me. He just made me a mouthpiece. He's the one that has set the standard for morality and for integrity. I shared on Wednesday night about a little clip thing that I, a little photo, a little picture that I put on Facebook. I actually shared it from someone else, and you know, all this gender stuff and all the monkey motion that's going on in the world, and they're trying to convince everybody that it's okay and it's all going to be fine. And if you identify as a buckwheat pancake, you can be a buckwheat pancake, for crying out loud. If you want to identify as a tractor, you can be a tractor. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, whatever you want to identify at, and I'm trying to be nice. Whatever you decide you want to identify it. Listen, God made man and woman. He made Angus. He made Holsteins. He made Hereford. He made some Charolais. And He made some Santa Gertrudis. And you know what I'm saying? He made some... He didn't mess it up. This little clip that I put on there was a demon from hell standing at the pearly gates. And he said, "But I identify as an angel." And whoever it was at the gate said, "Well, we don't play that game up here." It's God's way or no way. He's a God of mercy. He is a God of justice. He cares personally for every one of you. I don't care who you are. There are some of you, I don't even know who you are. The church is growing and God's bringing people in. But I want you to know this morning, God absolutely loves you. I don't give a care what you did last night or this morning or last week or 10 years ago. It don't make a difference. My God loves you with everything. So much He sent His Son to an old rugged cross to die. Die just for you. He's a God of mercy. And we love that. Woo! Thank you for we talk about it. His mercies are new every morning. Oh God, thank you. So is His justice. Ruh-roh. So is His justice. Our holy God expects you and I to imitate Him by following His high moral standard. You and I as believers ought to be set apart. We ought to be different because of God's qualities in our life. Behold, all things become new. The old things pass away. Our focus and our priorities must be His. We've already been declared holy because of our faith in Christ, but we must work out that divine family likeness in our day-by-day walk, our behavior, and our conduct. How many of you know it's pretty easy to just slip back in default? I mean, default's always wide open. Default's always ready to go. Default is always saying, hey, let's go back to the old way. And holiness is saying, don't do it. Holiness is saying, this is the way. Walk in it. It's a daily choice that you and I have to make. So we are able to pursue holiness in our daily lives because we've been made holy through the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Jesus said, it's finished. What He did on the cross was good for them. It's good for you. It's good for me from now on forever. Amen. He gave Himself once for the forgiveness of all sin. His sacrifice was final. Nothing else was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. You can't add anything to it. In fact, in John chapter 19 and verse 30, Jesus is on the cross. His blood is dripping and running down His body as He's nailed to the cross. The crown of thorns has been jammed down around His head and His ears, and blood is streaming from His head. The wounds in His intestines and His insides are showing out through the wounds from the beating that He took, because in the Word says, by My stripes you are healed. And when Jesus received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. See, according to the Greek, that one word, it is finished in the Greek, is just one word. And it means it is accomplished. It is fulfilled. It can even mean it is paid in full. Amen? I can remember my mom and dad sitting at the kitchen table when I was just a kid, and I remember every once in a while a bill would get paid off, and my mom with great joy would write across the invoice, paid in full. And that meant something to her. You could see the smile on her face because that thing was paid in full. Listen, your salvation, folks, is paid in full. It is paid in full. Jesus' death accomplished redemption, paid in full. And His death fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies regarding what salvation was going to be and what Jesus was going to bring. But here's the deal. Sin separates people from God. We had a great conversation about this in our men's group meeting. By the way, where'd Glenda go? I'm about ready to just explain some things to her, and she got up and left. Good Lord. In our men's meeting, what do? In our men's meeting, we read God's Word and we study God's Word, and between men, we talk about God's Word. How it applies to our life. What God wants us to do with our life. And because of that, we understand that there's a separation and we're talking about salvation and talking about, can you lose it? Can you never lose it once you've got it? And the Bible says sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. And it is only through the sacrifice of an animal or a substitute, which was a substitute rather, and faith in God's promise could the people in the Old Testament time under the law be forgiven and become clean before God. And it was something they had to do over and over and over. People sin continuously. How many of you have struggled with that one? People sin continuously, so sacrifices were frequent. Jesus, however, was the final and ultimate sacrifice for sin. The Bible says Jesus died once for all. Shed His blood once for all. With His death, the complex sacrificial system that was in effect throughout the whole Old Testament and up to the point of Jesus' death ended because Jesus took your sin and my sin upon Himself. So you and I now, because of what He has done, freely can approach God because of what Jesus did for us. And those who believe in Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection can live eternally with God and escape the penalty that comes from sin. Amen. So it is for this reason that you and I must pursue holiness. We have to strive for it. Listen, if you don't strive for something, you'll end up with nothing. I don't know what your feelings are about Steve Harvey, but sometimes he says something that's pretty profound. And he shares a story of when he was just a laid-back comedian, whatever he was doing, I don't even know. But he was between jobs and things were going downhill. And he knew somebody. I don't remember the guy's name. But he said at 5 o'clock every morning, this guy would call him on the phone. "Hey, Steve, good morning. This is blah, blah, blah. How you doing?" "Well, I'm in bed." He said, "Well, I'm just here to tell you, man, I hope you have a great day." And he would hang up the phone. And so the message behind it is that if you want to do something for the Lord, if you want to get anything out of life, your attitude has an awful lot to do with your lot in life. And he said, finally, one morning, he said, at 5 o'clock, I was waiting for him. And when my phone rang, he said, I picked it up. And I said, "Hey, John, this is, whatever his name. What did I say his name was? This is Steve. How you doing, man?" It changed him. It changed him. What needs to happen in your life that you have to begin to do some things? It's not an option for the child of God to live holy. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. I might even sing a few songs. I might not be any good at singing, but I'm going to sing anyway because the Bible said just make a joyful noise. "How you doing? Hey, somebody call you. Hey, how you doing?" "Well, you know, under the circumstances, I'm not doing too bad." Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? The Bible again says you're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. I've been on the tail end. Hello. We had baling twine hanging from the ceiling to control the tail. Because if you've ever been whacked with a tail, you know it's much better to be the head and not the tail. You get it? For this reason, it is for that reason that we must pursue holiness. It is not an option for the child of God. Turn with me to James chapter 4. I don't have much good to say, but God's Word sure does. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Therefore, what's it there for? It's there for your benefit. Therefore, submit to God. Period. We always read that like it's one sentence. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's not the way it's written. It's punctuated. It says, therefore, submit to God. Period. Stop. Whoa. Submit to God. Number one, submit to God. Number two, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Period.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. See, verses 7 through 9, in this little passage, there's a whole series of commands or imperatives that are given, which if we would follow them, would contribute to harmony and to holiness. Too often we sit down and have coffee with the devil. We just welcome him right in. Come on in. We need to resist him. We need to stand strong. Again, I'm preaching to me this morning. If y'all want some of it, you can just have it. But I'm preaching to this guy this morning. Amen. Me and you. Amen. Glory. See, Jesus called us for commitment. He called us for cleansing, and He called us to contrition. See, like a magnet, the call for commitment has both positive and negative poles. Submit to God and resist the devil. Submit, and again, this isn't going to feel very good. It's not comfortable. It's not warm and fuzzy. It's very direct, but it will get us into heaven. Submit is a military term. How many of you have been in the military? In the military, you don't get to ask how come or why. You just go do whatever it was. And you don't ask questions. If you ask questions, that might be a bad day for you. Submit is a military term. It means to be subordinated. That means to be under an authority. To be subordinated means to be under authority. To render obedience. That's why they go to boot camp, by the way. Boot camp, it's way different today from what I understand than what it was 10 years ago even. But in boot camp, that drill sergeant's job was to change your attitude. Amen? From how come to yes, sir. No questions asked. Yes, sergeant. Well, see, you can tell I ain't been in the military. But I know how to submit. My dad, I didn't have to be in the Army for my dad to train that one. Mm-hmm. He knew all about it because he was in the military. Take a stand. To submit is it's a military term to be subordinated or to render obedience, to resist. And it means literally to take a stand. To take a stand against the devil and he will flee. Remember, it's military. You can't just say, oh, devil, stop it. How far do you think that's going to get you in war? You guys quit shooting at us. Go land your planes and defuse your missiles. We're tired of it. No, it's a military term. It is a military term. To stand against. To stand and he will flee. On the other hand, draw near to God and he will come near in response. And so to draw near to God demands the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. So to wash your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We gotta change. Every action starts right here. Amen. Every action starts up here. It starts out with a thought. Every bad thing that happens, every good thing that happens, starts in here, in your cerebral cortex, in your brain. So both wash and purify are verbs that refer to ceremonial cleansing, a figure that spoke eloquently to the Jewish converts. And the need for cleansing is clear from the way James addressed his readers. You sinners and you double-minded. He's calling us to a single-minded focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Relationships are an interesting thing. I
I went to school with Rick. We wrestled together. We got in trouble. Well, we would have probably got in trouble if we'd have got caught. It wasn't bad stuff. It was just stuff that we'd have probably got in trouble for. And I hadn't seen him since high school, 1977, and until just a number of years ago. But our relationship just picked right back up right where it left off, and everything's good, and life is great. We've gone fishing together. We've done. It's just because it's a relationship. And that's what God wants, that kind of relationship. You walk away from God, and the devil tells you, you can't go back into that relationship. Huh? That's the lie of the enemy. Oh, he's done with you. He don't want no part of you. No, he's bidding you to come. See, we don't have to come very far when we come near, but we have to come. It ain't a far trip. In fact, it doesn't matter how far you've gone the wrong direction. It's just a simple turn around and you're back. Because he's right there. Somebody referred to him the other night as the hound of heaven. Amen. I agree with that. The idea of submission now includes the added benefit of God's immediate response. And as we submit our wills and our desires to God, we will discover His care and closeness in ways that we cannot perceive or even understand when we get in rebellion against Him. So in order for some to act out their decision to come near to God, it's helpful to participate in some physical movement toward God. Listen, that's why I ask you to come to the altar at altar time. Because it means something when you make a decision and physically you take steps toward God. It's a physical thing. It means returning to church. It might mean returning to church after you've been gone for a while. How many of you know those are tough doors after you've been gone for a while? Those are tough doors to come through. It might even involve continuing to attend church, but with a new sense of encountering God in worship. Last Sunday, we had a missionary here from Zimbabwe, and they brought two people with them. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but I did, because we've been talking about worship and unfettered worship, just worshiping God regardless of where. And this guy had never been in this church before or not, and all of a sudden, he just started raising his voice, and worship just began. And he come to me later after, he goes, "Pastor, I hope that was all right." He said, I just, it was uncomfortable, but he said, "I felt like the Lord was telling me to just open my mouth and begin to worship." I said, "Buddy, you've got no idea what that did for me." I didn't know who he was. He didn't know who I was. He doesn't know what I'm teaching on Wednesday night. I said, it absolutely fit exactly in with what I've been teaching. Church, the way we live matters to God. The way we live matters to God. Washing our hands pictures the removal of the things from the way that we live, and we have to distance ourselves from the sins that God points out in our life. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So faith and drawing near to God through Christ are inseparable. Faith and drawing near to Jesus and God are inseparable. Faith is defined as sincerely coming to God and believing in His goodness. Do we believe in that? I mean, we just sang a song. I may not know the hour, I may not know the day, but I know I'm going. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Are we diligently seeking Him? So by drawing near to God through Christ, one finds mercy, grace, help, and salvation, sanctification, and cleansing, and on and on and on and on. But the implication then is that where there is no drawing near to God in prayer and fellowship, there is no saving faith. You cannot be good enough to make heaven your home. It is a faith act. It is a step of faith. So the key to all this is to receive Jesus' sacrifice that forever secured personal and intimate access to God. In the Old Testament structure, there was a curtain in the Holy of Holies. And no one could go behind that curtain but the high priest.
Once a year.
And it was his responsibility to take the prayers of the nation and present them to God. Can I just tell you something? That would be a challenge. How would you like to believe that all your sins are going to get remembered by the priest when he goes in there? Or if he even remembered, oh yeah, by the way, Ray. Oh, I forgot all about him. When Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom to signify now God's given us, His people, access, personal access to the very throne room of God. Amen? Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord. Father, I love You today and I thank You for Your goodness. God, I thank You that You have laid down the gauntlet. You have laid down the challenge to You, to Your people, to us, Father, right now, Father. And I pray that as we have heard Your Word, that Your Word would be received in our hearts. And Father God, You didn't just give Your Word so that we'd have something to read and something to talk about. Your Word challenges us. Your Word changes us. Your Word provokes us. Your Word gives light in darkness. And Father, I pray this morning that Your Word would provoke and compel somebody to say, hey, I need Jesus as my Savior. And so this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying in this place, let me just ask this question, because this is the lifeblood of the ministry, is to see the lost come back to Jesus. Jesus said in the Gospels that He would leave the 99 and go after the one lost. And when the one lost is found, they all rejoice together. And so this morning, if you're here and you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord. I've never accepted Him. I've never asked Him to come into my heart. I've never surrendered by faith my life to Jesus. Till this morning, fact is, till this morning, I just thought being good would get me to heaven. But now I know it won't. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. So today, you're here and you say, preacher, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. I want to make heaven my home. I don't know the day and I don't know the hour, but I want to be able to go regardless of when it is. If that's you today, say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning in this place. Amen. Yes, sir. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Anybody else? Maybe you're here today and you've accepted the Lord some point in your life. But the relationship got lost. It got severed. You went this way, God stayed right there, but you went that way. And now you're far, far away from God. But today, you're back. And today you're saying, hey, I want my relationship with Jesus restored. I don't want to have to wonder if my salvation before was good enough to get me. If that relationship was good enough before, if it would get me into heaven. I want to know. I want no-so salvation. I want life-changing salvation. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. If that's you today, I want to see your hand. Slip your hand up. I'll pray with you. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come.